a lot of just hustle and bustle and the people vying for scarce resources. And in that time, even Mary and Joseph were looking for some place to find a spot in that busyness of humanity. You know, and imagine being from Bethlehem, an actual native of Bethlehem. And after the birth of Christ, and after Jesus is risen, and after he's grown up, and he's doing his ministry, to be able to say, you know what? He was born in my town. He was born in Bethlehem. Did you know him? Well, no, I didn't know him. I mean, did you see him? Well, I didn't see him, but he was born in Bethlehem. Those folks in Bethlehem, they had no idea. And yet, God was working mightily for their little town.
All right, if you can grab your hymnals, we're going to sing number 226. 226, O Little Town of Bethlehem.
O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see. Above the deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and dreams of all the years are met in thee tonight.
Second verse.
For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. Mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wandering love. O morning stars, together acclaim us sunny worth, and praises sing to God the King, and peace to men on earth.
Number four is the last.
O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us to pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel.
Amen. Great singing.
It continues on in Luke chapter 2, verse 6. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Mary and Joseph, a couple, a young couple, whose life had taken an amazing turn, one that they had not planned at all. How much faith did it take to believe God when angels came and said, you're going to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit? And to Joseph, don't divorce your wife because she's with child by the Holy Spirit. I mean, their faith was amazing. It truly was. And their courage, based upon their faith, was compelling. Took them all the way to Bethlehem, and there, and one minute they're just living their life, looking forward to their wedding, and next thing you know, they're on their way to Bethlehem, betrothed, Mary's pregnant, ready to have a baby. Every plan that they had before was changed. Has anything ever happened that changed your plans? How do we respond when our plans get changed? Imagine a change of this magnitude, and yet they responded with grace and with faith. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. in Bethlehem, away from friends and family, no place to stay. I mean, really stop and think about the mechanics of that. They're in this packed little town, and there's no place. And Joseph, imagine the burden he's feeling. She's ready to have a baby. I need to find a place. There's an urgency to him. And yet all the way along, God had provided, and here he does the exact same thing. He continues to provide. And then we get to verses 8 and 9. It says, "And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, watching over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." I want to talk about this for just a minute, because there's two things that happen to them. First, the angel of the Lord appears. Now, they hadn't seen an angel before. That was the first as well. And the angel himself was bright and shining, and he was a magnificent display, but it didn't stop there. The Bible clearly delineates between the angel of the Lord and the glory of the Lord. All through the Scripture, the glory of the Lord is described, Old and New Testament. It was the glory of the Lord that Moses saw passing by. It was the glory of the Lord that filled the temple that Solomon built, so that the priest couldn't even go in because the glory of the Lord was there in all of its shining brightness. Imagine being shepherds out in the field, just doing your shepherd thing. It's nighttime, the sheep are laid down, you're just probably sitting around a fire, and all of a sudden an angel appears. Well, that's startling. They were afraid. And then the whole glory of the Lord. Now, I can't even imagine how bright that would be. But it just goes to show you that this announcement of Christ's birth was not a secret. I mean, you could have seen the glory of the Lord. You could have been over the horizon. What is that shining over there? What's going on over there? Oh, just the glory of the Lord showing up to tell us about Jesus. And that's what he did. All of a sudden, the night sky explodes like daylight. And their calm night is suddenly dominated by the most amazing sights they've ever experienced. And the public declaration of the birth of Jesus Christ has now begun. Now we're going to have a couple of specials over here on the piano by Ezra and by Caleb. Come on up, you guys. Amen. Continues on in Luke chapter 2 with verse 10. It says, "And the angel said unto them," now keep in mind, the angel is telling them what God wants them to hear. This is not the angel telling him what he wants them to hear, but what God's message to them is, what God's message to us is about the coming of Jesus Christ, what our hearts should be like as we consider the birth of Jesus. "Fear not." Praise God that perfect love casts out fear. "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And that's really the whole purpose in Jesus coming. You know, when Jesus was born, the angels announced the intention of God at the point of his birth. "Unto you is a Savior." We all know how that came to be. On a cross like the one behind me, only more harsh and more real. But he came as a Savior, and that's to bring us joy, it says. He goes on there, which is Christ the Lord. And now he moves from who Jesus is to some practical instructions for them. "And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." In other words, how do we find this baby? Where do we go? We're out in the middle of the fields at night. So we just go and start knocking on doors in Bethlehem. "Hey, do you have a new baby? Do you have a new baby?" God gave them explicit instructions. "You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." In other words, there's only going to be one baby in a stable that night. You won't have to knock on anyone's door, interrupt anybody else. Just look for the stable that has a manger with a baby. And then it says, "And then suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." What a message. God saw this as only good news, profoundly good news, because Jesus had come. The word Emmanuel should strike to our minds. God with us, to live among us, to be a perfect person, so that he could be a perfect sacrifice for a sinful people. Praise God. Should bring joy to the world. Amen.
Go ahead and grab your handles and stand. And we'll go to 199, Joy to the World. We'll sing with the angels, Joy to the World. This might not have been exactly what they sang, but it's going to be something close. So pay attention to the text. Let's sing with them, Joy to the World, number 199.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing.
Verse number 3.
No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings full, far as the curse is found. He rules the world, let truth and grace, with makes the nations prove. Glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and
amen. Great singing. You may be seated.
Amen. So what did those shepherds do? What would you do? You got a whole flock of sheep that are now probably as startled as they could ever be. What do you do with it? All that. Well, it says in Luke chapter 2 and verse 15, and it came to pass that as the angels were gone away from them, first of all, it would have gotten really dark again. The shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. So the bottom line is they're like, let's go. Let's go. Folks, I hope that as a Christian, you have an excitement for God. Say, let's go. Let's go see Jesus every day. Let's spend some time with him. And it goes on and says, and they came with haste. They hustled. I don't know how fast shepherds run, but they hustled and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. They found them just the way God gave them instructions. Here's how you get there. And it shows that God doesn't just give us all the bright lights and the spiritual things. He gives us practical things like, here's how you find them. Here's where you go. When we pray to God and say, God, what should I do? He's going to give us more than just some ethereal thought. He's going to give us clear wisdom and clear guidance. And he does that just like he did with the shepherds. And when they had seen it, they saw it. It didn't say that they said anything else. They just went and saw it. That was enough. What happens after they saw it? It says, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. In other words, they didn't go and tell them what they saw. They told them who they saw. They saw Jesus Christ, the Savior. The Savior of the world. That's who they saw. And they told about him. And that's always what the message should be, is about Christ. Whether it's at Christmas time or any other time. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. You know, the shepherds were the lowest in the whole economic food chain, so to speak. They were considered like the one step above homeless. They got that job because they couldn't do anything else. And yet, who did God introduce the world to? Jesus through shepherds. Maybe sometimes you feel like, well, I'm not enough. With God, you're more than enough. Absolutely. Can you imagine the stories that flowed from their mouths? Who would ever believe them? And yet the scripture tells us they made known abroad. They were telling everybody. And I can almost imagine how it would have started, how that story would have started. They're just, these shepherds, they show up and say, they just come up to somebody. You'll never see what we saw. What are you talking about? Oh, it was over there, away in a manger over there. We saw this thing. Let's sing that song, Away in the Manger, Pastor.
Hymn number 232. 232. This song denotes the thoughts that the shepherds might have been thinking as they walked to and from the manger, and honestly, anybody who went visited our Lord that night. So let's echo those thoughts as we sing Away in the Manger. We'll sing all three verses, number 232.
It's amazing, you know, Luke chapter 2 and verse 19 tells us that Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. She captured the experience. And imagine all of the memories that would come flooding back from this night. The visit with the shepherds, giving birth in a stable, laying Jesus in a manger, all the things that went into that. Imagine how that all felt. Especially, imagine how that felt the day that she stood at the foot of the cross of Christ. And he said to John, "Behold thy mother," and to Mary, "Behold thy son," to ensure that she would be taken care of. She knew that he was born to be a savior. The whole world was yearning for a savior. The Bible says that all of creation groans under the weight of sin. And the whole world, every heart, needs a savior. And there was this great yearning in the hearts of many. And there still is today. Jesus describes the fields as being white unto harvest. Someone may be the most stern and gruff and difficult person who rejects God vocally all the time, but inside, in the deepest part of their heart, they know there's a God. And they know that they don't know Him. And that's what our opportunity as a Christian is to do, is to tell them about the Savior that was born on Christmas, that we celebrate Christmas about. But He wasn't born just to be born. He was born to die, to meet that yearning in the heart of every person for a Savior.
Sweet town by ancient grief and centuries of sorrow, there is a yearning in hearts that in the darkness hide and in the shades of death abide. A yearning for tomorrow. Firstborn of creation, there is a yearning for the Lord who visited His own and by His death for sin atoned to bring to us salvation.
The yearning,
Emmanuel, Emmanuel.
Amen. Thank you for that. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Is the principle of Emmanuel, God with us, true in your heart today? Does God live in you? God in you, the hope of glory? In John chapter 8 and verse 12, it says, "Then Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." That's what this little candle up here represents. It's just a simple representation of Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Jesus' birth was announced with great light. The glory of the Lord shone all about them. Jesus' life was the life of a great light in a dark world. Jesus' death and resurrection made it possible for us as Christians to live and be lights like a city on a hill. Jesus' indwelling power gives us the ability to walk in the light as He is in the light. Where light is, darkness flees. That night when Jesus was born, that began an eternal legacy of light pushing back the darkness. No longer was sin the dominant thing in the world, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the light of the world, and those who call Him their Savior as lights as well. Praise God for that. I'd like to invite Pastor Caleb to come and lead us in Silent Night. The pianist is going to be playing Silent Night, and then once everyone has their candles lit, as your candles get lit, please stand up. When we get all of everybody up, then we'll sing that together.
Pastors Randy and Andrew are going to come down the middle aisle. So those in the middle, if you could have your candles ready, and then you're just going to light the person next to you and go right down. The pianists are going to go ahead and begin to play, and then once everybody's lit, we'll sing together. All right, if you could sing with me, we're going to do just the first verse, Silent Night. Silent night, holy. Singing together. Let's close in prayer and then we will all be dismissed. Lord, I thank you that we could have this time together to celebrate your birth. And I pray that each one of us here that has entered into that relationship with you, that we would be rejoicing, that we would remember that time, those many years ago when you came, and the hope and the peace and the joy that that can bring into our lives. Lord, if there's anyone here today that does not know you as their personal Savior, I pray they'd realize they have access to that today, that they can turn from their sins, they can accept that gift of salvation only because of the work that you did by coming here and giving your life on our behalf. Lord, give us opportunities to reach out to our family members and friends that do not know you even today and this week. Lord, use us for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Merry Christmas.